Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is Samach Tes in Shabbos. We're in Samach Ches Amud Beis. We're on the bottom of the Amud. We started the seventh parak of Shabbos, a very big parak. In fact, it's called Klal Gadol. And we discussed our first thing that we discussed yesterday is why the language of Klal Gadol. The Gemara offered a couple suggestions. The Gemara is, I think, happiest with the suggestion of Shabbos is Chamor. In fact, Shabbos is so Chamor, and we have rules that speak to the Chamor of Shabbos, the stringencies of Shabbos, so therefore it opens up with Klal Gadol. And basically our Mishnah took us through three different scenarios. Now, our topic of discussion today, as it was yesterday, is the requirement to bring a Karban Chatas. A person violates Shabbos inadvertently. He did not know that today was Shabbos. He did not know that this act that he's doing is Usur. So the Torah requires the individual to bring a Karban Chatas. The reason why you bring a Karban Chatas vis-a-vis Shabbos is because it has an Isser Kares. And like we learned in Kareses, really not that long ago, anytime the Torah levies a punishment of Kares and a person did the Avera inadvertently, Bishogeg, so as a form of Kapar, as a form of atonement, so the person has to bring a Karban Chatas. The Mishnah had three different scenarios. This is all just review. I'll tell you when we actually start the daf. The Mishnah did three different scenarios. The first scenario of the Mishnah was called Shokech Iker Shabbos. Totally forgot about Shabbos. In other words, it didn't even occur to you that there's this thing called Shabbos. You forgot. It escaped you. Before I get to the second. And in that such a scenario, let's say you violate one Shabbos after another Shabbos after another Shabbos, having totally forgotten about Shabbos, so then you only bring one carbon. The second scenario of the Mishnah was Hayodei Iker Shabbos Vasam Lachos Harbei B'Shabbos Tarbei. Let's say you know about Iker Shabbos. In other words, you remember Shabbos. It just happens to be that when you woke up in the morning, you forgot that today was Shabbos. In other words, you woke up thinking today was Sunday. No, but you knew about Shabbos. I'm not Machal Shabbos. I just saw today was Sunday. So under that scenario, the Gemara says you're going to be chayv al Shabbos for Shabbos. You'll be chayv for every Shabbos. And as Rashi explained, I said this yesterday, we're reviewing today. As Rashi explains, it's impossible that sometime during the week you didn't realize at that point in time that you made a mistake and what you thought was Sunday was actually Shabbos and you violated Shabbos. And so therefore you're going to bring a Karban Chatas for every Shabbos. And the third scenario in the Mishnah was that you woke up in the morning, you knew it was Shabbos, but what did you forget? You forgot about the malachos. Oh, I forgot about this thing called cooking and kneading and plowing and planting. And I forgot about all the malachos. So you're going to be chayv on every malacha that you violated. Okay? And even if that mistake perpetuates one Shabbos after another Shabbos after another Shabbos, nevertheless, you're going to only have to bring one Karban Chatas for every av malacha that you violated. And then the Mishnah tells us almost like post facto, and oh, by the way, when it comes to an av and a tolada, if I violate on Shabbos, an av and its tolada, I'm only going to have to bring one Karban Chatas for that. That's categorically one avera of Shabbos. That's what we saw in the Mishnah yesterday. Gemara then turned to a fascinating discussion. What if you're a tinok shenishba? First, the baby was taken and held in captivity amongst goyim, or the Gemara gave another scenario, which to me fascinated me, which was, let's say a person converted amongst goyim. And the Beis Din who converted him never informed him about this thing called Shabbos. They told him about a couple of other wonderful things of what it means to be a Jew, but never told him about Shabbos. And so now, living life as a Jew, but not knowing about Shabbos. So, you're Tinuk Shanishba, a Gershon is Gari Ben HaAkum. So, what's your story? So, your story says, Rav and Shmuel, they introduce a fascinating position. So, Rav and Shmuel said the story of such an individual is that he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Meaning, upon the point of realization that all these years he's been violating Shabbos, he has to bring a Karban Chatas. That is the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan disagree. They say, of course not. Such an individual does not need to bring a Karban Chatas. How in the world can you say that he violated Shabbos even on a shogeg he never knew? He had no historical knowledge about Shabbos. And as I quoted Rashi yesterday, and I reiterate Rashi today, Rashi says that according to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, he's an ones. Rach ones rachmana patre. So how in the world can you hold them liable? And this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel versus Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is in fact a machlokas tanayim. And what we ended up seeing yesterday, and this is the last thing we saw yesterday, is a machlokas between the Chachamim and Munbaz, where essentially they argue over this very point. Where according to Munbaz, you are going to be chayiv a karban even if you're tinuk shenishba. The moment that you find out that all these years you've been violating Shabbos, even though you had no historical record that there's this thing called Shabbos, you never knew. Nevertheless, according to Munbaz, you're still going to be chayiv a karban chatas. And so therefore, Rav and Shmuel are going like Munbaz, and Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are going like the Chachamim, who say no. You're only going to bring a karban chatas only if at one point historically you knew about Shabbos, and then you lapse into forgetfulness, and now here you are remembering that you violated Shabbos. Good. I mentioned yesterday the position of Rav and Shmuel is very hard to understand, meaning you're going to be chayv karban chatas. It sounds like you have a certain amount of liability, even though you never knew that it was Shabbos. It's a difficult position to understand. It's a difficult position to accept. In fact, it's so difficult that it's not accepted lahalacha, but still, it's, in other words, it's a shita, it's a position, and definitely requires some better understanding, certainly better than what I'm providing. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday, and we are continuing in the Gemara, and when we're on Samachesim Beis, towards the bottom of the Amun, my time of the Munbaz. Okay, the Gemara here is going to... Oh, by the way, I made a mistake. In other words, I flipped around the shita. Sorry. Okay, in my review, I only confused. Okay, apologies to everybody. Munbaz is like Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, and the Chachamim are like Rav and Shmuel. Okay. My time at the Munbaz, the Gemara now continues. What's the reason behind Munbaz? Dechsev Tarachas Yalachem La'oseh B'shkaga. Oh, and by the way, one other thing I want to review before we continue with today's daf. Okay, yesterday we also saw Braisa with a conversation between Munbaz and the Chachamim. Okay, Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, you remember this from yesterday's daf? So let me review this with you quickly, because we're going to come back and we're going to discuss this again. Okay, the Kachay and Munbaz Dan Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. I'm going back to the middle of the Amud. I just want to review this point between this conversation between Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva. Meaning when you're a sinner, you're called, the Torah calls you, refers to that as a chote, as a sinner. And a shogeg, meaning even if it's not intentional, it's inadvertent, nevertheless, you're still a chote, you're still a sinner. And like I described yesterday, a shogeg is not a mistake. Shogeg is not an accident. I mean, yes, it's accidental, but it's not an accident. Shogeg means that you should have known that today was Shabbos. You woke up, you forgot. You should have known that this was Aser. You forgot. But in other words, to say shogeg is an accident, it's like an onus, it's not. It's much more than that. It's what I described yesterday as inadvertent, right? Similar to, it's not exactly the same, but similar like manslaughter in this country. Manslaughter is, you didn't mean to kill the individual, but... you weren't careful enough. So here, by shogeg, it's a similar idea. Meaning, you didn't mean to be mechal Shabbos, but you should have been more careful. That's more the sense of shogeg. So the Gemara says, look, and again, I'm just reviewing back from yesterday. So, v'kachay emun bazalim v'nei Rabbi Kiva, hol meizit karichote v'shogeg karichote, ma meizit shayisa lo yediyah, af shogeg shayisa lo yediyah. Munbaz says, look, just like meizit, you had to have some sort of yediyah, so to shogeg, you had to have some sort of yediyah. Okay, and this is Munbaz arguing, right, correct, I was wrong in the way I said it a couple minutes ago. This is Munbaz arguing that Tinuk Shenishba can't have to bring a karban because he never had a yediyah. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, hareini mosifot varecha. So Rabbi Akiva says, look, you're comparing shogeg and mezin? What a catastrophic comparison. That's terrible. So ima mezin shayisa yediyah b'shas maisa, shogeg shayisa yediyah b'shas maisa. So Rabbi Akiva's counter-argument is very clear. Well, I don't understand. By Mazid, you knew it was us when you did it. By Shogeg also, you knew it was us when you did it. So I'm Elohim. So what did Munbaz say back to Rabbi Akiva? Yep, sure. And I didn't explain this well yesterday when we did this Braisa. Meaning, what's Munbaz's response? If Munbaz is right, of course you knew about it when you did it. So then what's the difference between Shogeg and Mazid? The Koshikin Shah Safta. And Munbaz gives Rabbi Akiva a pat on the back and says, yeah, you're good. I'm with you. You're right. You knew about it when you did it. So Amalo Zvarecha Ein Zeh Kari Shogeg El Amazin. And Rabbi Akiva says back to Munbaz, I'm really not understanding you. So then what's the difference between Shogeg and Mazin? Your Shogeg is Mazin. Adkan. Okay, that was the Braisa yesterday and the dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Munbaz. And I said it yesterday, I'm saying it now today, and hopefully today we'll have a somewhat better understanding of how that dialogue went. Okay, and now let's continue in the Gemara. Now we are starting today's daf. My time of the Munbas. But you understand though, really today's daf is a continuation of yesterday. If you didn't get yesterday, you won't get today's. It's not that bad. My time at the Munbaz, what's the reason for Munbaz? Dichtiv Tarachas Yalachem, Lo Sebishkaga, Vismichle HaNefesh Asher Ta'aseh B'Yad Ramah. The Torah in Parsha Shlach, when describing the chait of Avodah Zarah, so the Torah juxtaposes two basic ideas. One is someone who is a shogeg, and then right next to it, V'Nefesh Asher Ta'aseh B'Yad Ramah. And the person who does it, Bemazin. So you have side by side in the Torah, shogeg and mazin. Just like Mazid, there was the idea, so to Shogig, there was the idea. Okay. That is the opinion of Munbaz. And so, according to Munbaz, by Shogig, you have to have a certain amount of idea that you do what you're doing is wrong. And again, now the question should be hanging, it should be lingering in everyone's mind. Yeah, so then you haven't yet explained the difference. What's the difference between Shogeg and Mazid? Meaning if Mazid, I'm doing it intentionally, and Shogeg, I know what I'm doing and I'm doing is wrong, so then what's Shogeg and what's Mazid? When's the Torah assigning me the capital punishment, or kares, I should say, and when's the Torah assigning me a carbon chatas? There's got to be some difference between the two, so stay tuned because we're going to answer it, but just realize at this point in time. Now, earlier we were saying it through a kavachomer, now we're saying it through a hekesh. However you say it, it comes out strange. According to Munbaz, shogig equals mazid, which can't be. Okay, so that requires more explanation. Virabanan. Now the Chachamim who disagree with Munbaz, Hai Torah Achas my Avdile. So what do they do with Torah Achas? Mi Baile Lichidemakre Le Rabbi Shur Malay Vilabre. So what the Chachamim are going to do with that pasuk of Torah Achas, which means we want uniformity. So what are we looking for? Where are we looking for uniformity? So the Gemara explains. Rav Yeshua ben Levi said this explained this to his son. Torah Achas Yalachem Lo Sebish Kaga Uksiv Vechisishku Velo Sasu is called Mitzvot Sa'ela Uksiv Anefesh Asher Tasa Biyad Ramah Hukshakulam La Avoda Zara Malahalan Davish Shechayim Mazdona Karis Veshigagaso Chatas Akol Davish Shechayim Mazdona Karis Veshigagaso Chatas. So you know where the Torah is achieving uniformity in terms of what's the threshold of Isser that a person has to violate in order to bring a Karban Chatas. Look, the Karban Chatas is given to us, is really spelled out for us by Avodah Zarah. What's Avodah Zarah? It's an Isser Kares. Meaning that when a person intentionally is over Avodah Zarah, so the punishment is Kares. Now again, if there are witnesses and there's due process, it's a capital crime. And he's going to be put to death through Skila. But the basic point is that by the baseline punishment for the one who deliberately is serving idolatry, is kares. And the Torah says that if he does a b'shogeg, he's going to have to bring a karban chatas. So too, that's going to be the general threshold of all Yisurim in the Torah. All Yisurim in the Torah are going to have to be an Isser kares in order to be chayv a karban chatas. Good. That's what he does with the pasuk of Torah Achas Yelachem. The Gemara continues, V'alamun ba'ashigigah b'may. So now, Here's the Gemara asking the question. Now Munbaz obviously disagrees. Now Munbaz says that just like by a mazid he's a yodea, so too by a shogeg he is a yodea. So the Gemara says, so if all this is correct, so what makes him a shogeg? There's got to be some understanding of his that right now escapes him. It has to be. Otherwise, shogeg and mazid are the same thing. So here's really, the Gemara is really asking a riddle. It really is a mind bender. Meaning, according to Munbaz, who says that a shogeg is someone who knows what he's doing is wrong, and at the same time he's a shogeg, well, how can you dance at both chasnas? How can you know what you do is wrong, and at the same time be a shogeg? Okay? And it's really a mind bender. And the Gemara explains like this. This is how it's going to have to work according to Munbaz. So according to Munbaz, you know what your shogeg is? You know what escaped you? You forgot, while you were violating a malach on Shabbos, knowing that the Torah asks you and says to you, do not do that, knowing that if you do it on purpose, you're going to receive an onus of kares, but what you forgot is that there's such a thing called a karban chatas. You forgot about that. and a lack of awareness of just the carbon chatas, right? You getting this? Meaning, even though you know today's Shabbos, what I'm doing is aser. If I do it on purpose, it's an issur kares. But the only thing that's escaping you right now is that there's a thing called the carbon chatas that says munbaz is enough of a shogeg, where now you're in the category of shogeg. The difference between mazen and shogeg, according to munbaz, it is thin slicing. It's really, really a fine distinction between the two of them. You were shogeg bechatas. You forgot about the carbon chatas. And the Gemara says, and what will the Chachamim tell you? It's very simple what the Chachamim will tell you. Shigagas carbon, lukshma shigagah. Yeah, that's not enough shogeg. Meaning, to call something shogeg, if I know something is usher, and I know it has a courage punishment with it, that's mazen. That's what we would call mazig. So that's not enough to qualify somebody as being a shogeg. So now the Gemara turns its attention to the Chachamim. So now, let's get this clear. So according to the Chachamim, we know there's a difference in the Torah between mazig and shogeg. And so the question here is a very basic question. What exactly makes a person a shogeg? What must have escaped his attention and his memory in order to now call this act a shogeg? B'mai Rav Yochanan Amar. The Gemara is now going to assume that the Chachamim, we're looking for just, yes, correct, meaning, what, no yediyah at all? In other words, the Tinuk Shenishba, mm-hmm, of Rav and Shmuel. Right. The Gemara is assuming that the Chachamim here are not going to align themselves with Rav and Shmuel. In fact, you remember, we even tried to insert Rav and Shmuel to the Mishnah. The Gemara abandoned ship. The Gemara says no. Rav and Shmuel don't even fit into the Mishnah. So I'm assuming right now that this is not according to Rav and Shmuel. This is according to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, who say that you must have had some sort of yediyah. So the
Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish line up with Munbaz.
Yeah, so right.
So we just explained Munbaz is the position, so why don't you say it's the other?
Right, so, and this, so then, but now as the Gemara is about to explain the Chachamim, using Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, explain the Chachamim, right, it
kind of looks like that maybe Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish don't line up with Munbaz.
Right, as much as the Gemara previously said it did. Okay, that just only confuses everybody. Right, myself included, but okay, fine. So, in other words, so again, the Gemara now is asking really such a basic question. What makes you a shogeg? Shogeg, we know, means that you were unaware. But unaware of what? So the Gemara says, V'rabban shigeg b'mai. So Rav Yochanan amar kevesh shogeg b'karis alfa pisha hezeb alav. So Rav Yochanan's position is fascinating. Now again, I don't even have to say that because Munbaz already was fascinating. Meaning, according to Munbaz, the difference between shogeg and mazid is the difference of, I know it's Shabbos, I know it's Aster, I know it's an Issur Kares, but you know what I forgot? I forgot that there's this carbon chatzas thing. I mean, that's amazing, according to Munbaz, what makes the difference between shogeg and mazid.
Is that Munbaz that says it for sure, or is it...
That was Munbaz. That was clearly Munbaz.
So what would a mazid be under Munbaz?
Maybe a mazid would be from Munbaz, that you have to know that it's Shabbos, you have to know that it's Aster, you have to know that it's an Issur Kares, and you also have to remember that there's this thing called this carbon chatas. You got to remember all that in order to be under the category of mazid. Now, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Munbaz, so there has to be more shogeg. There's got to be more lack of awareness. What is it? So Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you what there's a lack of awareness of, and that would be where you forgot there was an Issur Kares. Meaning, I know today's Shabbos, I know what I'm about to do is Aser, I know the Torah prohibits it, but what he was shogeg, what he was unaware of, is that together with it would be an Issur Kares. That's what he was unaware of. That's what escaped him.
Huh? Is he aware of the carbon?
No, in other words, he didn't know about the carbon, but he didn't even know that it was, he didn't know it was an Issur Kares. Alpha Pisha Yizib Balav, even though he was Mezib Balav. Now Reish Lakish Amar Ashishkak Balav the Kares. Now Reish Lakish says no. What he must have forgotten was not only what he's doing. He not only is it not an Issur Kares, but he forgot that what I'm doing is a lav. Now let's just take a moment to think about this, really like process this information. Meaning, if I ask you who's more intuitive, I would present to you, Reish Lakish would be much more intuitive. Meaning we're looking at what makes a person a shogeg, meaning an inadvertent sinner. So inadvertent sinner means I wake up in the morning and I forgot. I went to yeshiva, I learned Torah, I learned about this thing called Shabbos, I learned you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, and I forgot that cooking is also on Shabbos. That's what I would say is a shogeg. Not me personally, but in other words, if I'm looking for what the Torah says, you're a deliberate violator versus, you escaped your attention. So I would say Reish Lakish is much more intuitive. Just more mistaber, it's more logical. Shogeg means I forgot at the time that cooking was usher. Rav Yochanan, if you think about it, is a bigger chiddush, because Rav Yochanan says, what shogeg? I know cooking is usher. I just forgot the degree of punishment that when the person violates Shabbos on purpose, he's going to receive the Karetz punishment.
Had he known the punishment, he never would have been shogeg.
In other words, somehow for Rav Yochanan, if I would have just remembered that not only does the Torah prohibit me from doing this, but there's Karetz as well, now we can call him amazing. But without Karetz, we call him more of a shogeg because it's just a lav. It's not a super lav. It's not a Karetz lav. Okay, but...
But it makes sense, because when the Chayv Misa, you got to know it's the exact punishment. Killing, but you got to know the exact punishment.
Right.
But here, the same thing. You got to know the exact...
I don't want to belabor this point too much, but you're right, but we're not talking about capital crime right now. We're not talking about corporal punishment. We're talking about making the distinction between when the Torah refers to you as an intentional sinner versus
But I'm saying to you that intentional also, you got to know every detail.
Okay, good. You're defending Rav Yochanan, which is what you should be doing, especially considering that the halacha falls like Rav Yochanan, so makes it even better to understand Rav Yochanan. But good, that's the position of Rav Yochanan. Now, my time at the Reish Lakish. So what's the reason behind Reish Lakish? Now, it's funny, I told you, Reish Lakish makes a lot of sense. He's very mistaber. It's interesting because the Gemara immediately says, oh, by the way, do you even understand Reish Lakish? Meaning, from the Gemara standpoint, Rav Yochanan was more intuitive. Rav Yochanan was the more intuitive approach, as the Gemara doesn't even bother telling us, can we understand Rav Yochanan? Nah. Rav Yochanan, the Gemara feels, is like... Right, is more mistaber. What's behind Reish Lakish? I'm a crush. Shelo sasenu bishkagav v'ashem. Ashi yishkosh b'la v'kareis shiba. So, the Gemara, in defense of Reish Lakish, explains, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Ashir lo se'asenu. You see the word se'asenu? You know what that means? It's a lav. Meaning, bishkagav v'ashem. What's the definition of shogeg? He forgot that the Torah prohibits it. He forgot totally that it was a lav. Rav Yochanan, I cried to Reish Lakish, my avilei. Now, Rav Yochanan, who obviously disagrees with Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan, who says that what qualifies somebody as a shogeg is that he just simply forgot the punishment of kares. So it comes out now, according to Rav Yochanan, what does he do with that pasuk? We're talking about who's eligible to bring a carbon chatas. You know who's eligible? Somebody where you tap him on the shoulder and you say to him, hey, did you know that this is prohibited? And then he says, oh yeah, right. Right, okay. And then he would stop, and then he will not do it. However, the person who doesn't care and happens to be in his not caring, he happens to be a shogeg, so the Torah says, you don't qualify, you're not eligible. In other words, you got to be a believer, basically. You got to be, I described it a number of times in the past, you got to be on the reservation. If you're eligible to bring a carbon, you have to be someone who's on the reservation. If you're off the reservation, meaning you're just simply not a believer, you do not care whether or not the Torah prohibits it or not, even if someone taps you on the shoulder and says, do you know that that's us? And you say, good, go away, I don't care. So the so that person doesn't bring a carbon chatas. Huh?
When he's shogeg.
Tanan, the Gemara now continues. So, where are we right now? Okay, let's see if we get this straight, because there's a lot of information being thrown. Or let's try to organize the information. We're basically spending our day today trying to understand what's the difference between shogeg and mazid. So first, the opinion of Munbaz, which is the difference between shogeg and mazid is a strand of hair. It's a hair's breadth between the two. According to Munbaz, in order to for a person to qualify as a shogeng, he knows it's asr while he's doing it. There's a total yediyah. He even knows it's a punishment of kares. He just forgot about the karban chatas. That makes a person a shogeng according to Munbaz. Good. That's not the accepted halacha. We follow like the chachamim. But according to the chachamim, what's the difference between shogeg and mezid? So that's now further machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan will tell you that a shogeg is a person who knows that it's Shabbos and knows that it's Asr but forgot about the Asr Kares. According to Reish Lakish, what is a shogeg? The person who knows that person who forgot that it's Asr. He forgot that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Okay, to none. Let's continue now with a Mishnah, which we will learn a couple days from now. Avos malachas arba'im chazachah, there are 39 malachas on Shabbos, v'avinan ba. Minyan olam mili, and the Gemara asks a simple question. It's the first Gemara right after that Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah need to say, give us the number 39? Meaning, meaning count the Mishnah, right? We're capable. We can go through every malacha on Shabbos, and we could see that there are 39 malachas. So why does the Mishnah say specifically that there are 39? V'amar Rav Yochanan, Shimasin kulam elam echad chayva kolachas v'achas. So Rav Yochanan responds to that by saying, because it's possible that on a given Shabbos, you can be a violator of all 39. And you would then bring 39 karban chatasis. Super. That's why the Mishnah gives us the number 39. Now, heichi mishkachal abizadon Shabbos v'shigagos malachas. Now, we also know that included in this possibility is that the person knows about Shabbos, but he was a shogeg b'malacha, meaning he was unaware of a malacha. Now, bishlam l'Rav Yochanan damer kevish shogeg b'karis alfa pishis b'lav mishkach halakha gon diad alala Shabbos b'lav. So now, according to Rav Yochanan, how in the world can you arrive at 39? It's really simply according to Rav Yochanan. Because remember, what's the threshold of shogeg for Rav Yochanan? You knew it was Asr, you just forgot that there was an Issur Kares. So, how in the world can I bring 39 karban chatasis? It's very simple. I knew that cooking on Shabbos was Asr. I knew also planting and plowing. I knew all 39 malachas. I forgot, however, that together with each one of these malachas is attached an Issur Kares. And that's how it's possible that you can know about all 39 malachos, and at the same time, still be required to bring a karban chatas, because his threshold for shogeg is so high that it's possible. But let me ask you this question. According to Reish Lakish, what was his threshold of shogeg? If in order to be a shogeg, you have to have forgotten both about the Issur Kares and the lav itself. So according to Reish Lakish, so here's the conundrum of the Gemara. You didn't know about, you didn't know. You knew, but you forgot. You forgot about, and now we can go through the whole list of the malachas of Shabbos. Zoreya, Choresh, Kotzer, Mamer, Dash, okay, etc., etc. You totally forgot about all 39 malachos.
So now, Shabbos,
huh?
But he knew
today was Shabbos.
What's the Shabbos then?
Yeah. So in other words, it's such a fundamental question the Gemara is now about to ask. How is it possible that right now you have forgotten about every one of the malachas on Shabbos, but you knew today was Shabbos? So what makes Shabbos today Shabbos?
Kiddush.
I want you to know, it's funny and true. Meaning, why didn't the Gemara throw Kiddush and Havdalah out there?
Right?
Kiddush is daraisa. The mitzvah of kiddush is daraisa. And what's fascinating, and you're going to have to say this.
Yeah, but everybody knows Shabbos is .
Okay. Well, what Phil is saying, you're going to have to say that the very definition of Shabbos is the malachos.
No, sure.
Meaning kiddush is a mitzvah, havdalah is a mitzvah, and let's even say kiddush is a mitzvah daraisa. Let's not just say it. It's true. It's correct. Kiddush is a mitzvah daraisa. But when you're talking about what is Shabbos, okay, and we're not speaking now, with the kumzitz, this is not a fluffy discussion. This is a halachic discussion. This is a Gemara discussion. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the malachos. That's Shabbos. Okay, and everything else is nice, and the singing is nice, and not only nice, it's important. But I'm saying, but you ask, what is Shabbos? The malachos are Shabbos. So now the Gemara is essentially saying, so here you are now. On Shabbos, haven't forgotten about all 39 malachas. So what makes today Shabbos for you? How can you be a shogeg b'malachos and a zadon Shabbos? What today makes Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Gemara gives such an unbelievable answer. So the idea b'tchomim v'alibah Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, you know what you remembered? I'm not allowed to walk outside of Tchum Shabbos. Now Tchum Shabbos, you know, or if you don't know, get to Masech Erevin. We'll be discussing this at length. So you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amas outside of your city limits. That's what's called Tchum. Now, according to most opinions, it's not Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. There is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says that Tchum Shabbos is an Issa D'Oraisa. He has a pasuk that supports it. He's a minority position, but at least now, in our defense of Reish Lakish, how can a person not have known right now about any of the 39 malachas and for him today Shabbos? What makes today Shabbos? He remembers Tchum, which according to Rabbi Akiva, Tchum Shabbos is an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay. So we use a shita tayachid in order to defend Reish Lakish. Mantan lahadatan rabban, and the Gemara says, let's go over the following braisa. Shagag v'zeh v'zeh, zeh shagag amr b'tara. You forgot about Shabbos, you forgot about the malacha, so that's shagag. Hezid v'zeh v'zeh, zeh mezid amr b'tara. You knew today was Shabbos, you knew that this was a malacha, that's called mezid. Shagag b'shabbos v'zeh b'malachas, or shagag b'malachas v'zeh b'shabbos. Let's say you're shagag about either the malacha or Shabbos. Oh, Sha'amar. Yodei ani shemalacha zu asur, aval eini yodei shechayev alam karban. Olo, chayev. So, or, it's this last one, which is the kicker. I know today's Shabbos, I know it's asur, I even know there's a karis penalty. I just forgot about this thing called the karban chatas. So, you're not going, that's also considered shogeg. So, who is that? Come on, come on, buzz. So, the Gemara says, okay, that brisa that we just cited is the opinion of Munbaz. Very often, in other words, once you're armed with all the information, so you could do this. I mean, you could learn a braisa, you could just simply say, oh, that braisa, oh, even if you forgot that about the carbon chatas, that's a shogeg, oh, that's Munbaz. Because Munbaz is of the opinion that having forgotten about the carbon qualifies as a shogeg. Amar Abaya komod mishruz bitu ishein chayav malav carbon, achi ishkog, belav shabam. Okay, now we move along. Now we're moving along, now we have it all. We know now what a shogeg is, according to Munbaz, according to the Chachamim, two opinions within the Chachamim, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Okay, we have it all straight. If not, listen again to the today's daf. Amar Abaye HaKol Modim. Now Abaye is going to say like this. Now when it comes to Shavuos Bitu, you remember, Shavuos Bitu is making a false oath, either about something that will happen in the future, or something that has happened in the past. Shein chayavan ala karban ach yishkog belav shaba. Now, what makes you a shogeg over here? Meaning, this is one of the areas in the Torah where, if by accident you made this shvua and you declared, I made, with a shvua, with the force of a shvua, I will not eat that loaf of bread. And then, a couple minutes later, an hour later, you forgot you made the shvua and you ate the loaf of bread. Good. You violate nisr in the Torah b'shogeg. You're going to bring a carbon chatas. The Torah requires you to bring, over here, to bring carbon chatas. And to be a little bit more specific, it's not actually carbon chatas, it's a carbon olaviyoreid. Okay, but let's call it right now carbon chatas. Now, what makes this discussion interesting is that this iser of Shavuos Bitu, even though the Torah demands that you bring carbon chatas, there's no karis punishment. It's just a lav. The Torah says, in this iser, everybody agrees, hakol modim, everybody agrees, that here, what makes you a shogeg? Having forgotten about the isser in the Torah. That's what makes you a shogeg. Now, hakol modim, man Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, you know who the hakol modim is referring to? It's referring to Rav Yochanan. Now, pshita, kikam, now, and do me a favor, take a look at Rashi. Why Rashi had to spell that out? Obviously, it's Rav Yochanan. It's Rav Yochanan who said by Shabbos that what defines you to be a shogeg is having forgotten about the Issa Karis, even though you remember the love. Here, there is no Issa Karis. The only thing to remember is the love. Okay, anyway, take a look at Rashi. But in the meantime, however, Pshita ki kamar Rav Yochanan hechadika karis v'al hechadaleka karis lo. The Gemara says, it's obvious. Meaning, we're now talking about the Issa in the Torah Shavuos Bitui of making a false oath. So obviously now, there's no karis punishment to even consider, because there's no karis by Shavuos Bitui. So given that that's the case, obviously, Rav Yochanan will tell you that in order to be a shogeg over here, the threshold obviously is going to go down. or go up, and depending on how you look at it. But in other words, there's only a lav by Shavuos Bitui. So to be a shogeg, you must have forgotten at the time that there is such a lav in the Torah of making a false oath. So the Gemara explains, now, Sakadat Chaimina, I might have thought, Hol v'chayev karban, chidashu de b'chol ha-Torah kula l'ashka chan lav, de maisi ala karban, v'hacha maisi, ki shogeg b'karban, nami le'chayev. Well, the Gemara says, look, I might have thought, havamina, that here, what a chiddush in the Torah. The Torah demands that I bring a karban, even though there's no istakari, it's by Shavuos Bitui. I might have thought that having forgotten about the karban, in this particular case, would qualify as a shogeg. So Chamashman, the Torah is coming to tell us that no. On that, Rav Yochanan says, we do not budge. In order for it to be considered a shogeg, you must have forgotten, in this case, that it's a lav in the Torah. Okay, Chamashmalan. Meisvei the Gemara challenges Ezu Shigeg Shavuos Bitui L'Sha'avar. What is going to be an example of Shavuos Bitui L'Sha'avar? As I explained a moment ago, this issue in the Torah is either making a false Shavuah on the future or in the past. Now, on the future, we all understand that's very easy. I mean, easy to consider and easy to violate. I swear, I will not eat this loaf of bread, and a couple minutes later, I totally forgot I made such a Shavuah, or I forgot that it's Aser. In other words, I know I made the Shavuah, but I forgot that violating my Shavuah is Aser min HaTorah. Okay, either way, you're going to be Chayiv a Karban. Sorry? Yeah, you'll be Chayiv a Karban. But what about the past? Meaning, let's say I ate that loaf of bread, and I say, I swear I didn't eat it.
Well, either you did or you didn't.
So, right. So, you either did or you didn't. And when you utter the Shavuah, were you aware of what, do you even know what you're saying?
Right.
Meaning, if you ate the loaf of bread and you swear you didn't.
Maybe you forgot you ate it.
No, maybe you just didn't know that you couldn't make an oath.
But, okay, watch. Shimama Yodani Sheshvua Zuasura, Avalin Yodea Im Chayav Nala Karban O Lo Chayav. And the Brisa says, you know what the example would be about the past? Do you know where the Torah tells you that it's a shogeg? It's going to be a scenario where I know that it's Aser.
Sure.
I know the Shavuah is Aser. But you know what I forgot? I forgot that if I made such a Shavuah, and even though I know I'm lying, I'm obligated to bring a Karban Chatas. That is considered a shogeg. So the Gemara is set. Huh? Oh, good. That's the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hamani Munbazi. So the Gemara says, good. And you know who that is? That's Munbaz. Meaning good. Excellent Braisa. Good point. But it's not a Kash on Reish Lakish. It's not a Kash on Rav Yochanan. Because the Braisa that we just quoted is going like Munbaz. Okay. And then the Gemara has a couple more lines. Rashi says, delete it. You'll notice in our Gemara it has parentheses around it. Okay, we move on. We go to the Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye Kalmod Mitruma. Shein Chayev Alam Chomesh Achishka Gbalav Sheba. Okay, now the eating of Truma. I'm not a Kohen. I'm not allowed to eat Truma. If I sit down and eat Truma, so the Torah says to me, well, if I do it on purpose, obviously I violate this in the Torah. Kozar Lo Yochal Kodesh, that I'm a non Kohen, I'm eating Kodesh. The punishment for such an act is Misa Bidei Shamayim. Right? It's like Kares light. A lightened version of kares. If I eat a bishogeg, meaning I, at the time when I eat it, I know it's truma, but I forgot that the Torah prohibits me from doing so, and I eat a bishogeg, what's my punishment? So, make restitution to the Kohen, add a fifth onto that, which is really a fourth, you know, Jewish math, and also you bring a karban as well. So, now, what makes you a shogeg over here? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi. Come on, mature machine. Chayav malav chamesh achishok belav sheba." So, in order for you to qualify as a shogeg, you must have forgotten that the Torah prohibits it. Meaning, here Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, even though by Shabbos they disagree, what makes you a shogeg? By achilas truma for non kohen, everyone agrees that you have to have forgotten that it's aser, that the Torah prohibits it. So the Gemara says, "Hakol modim man Rav Yochanan." So again, the Gemara does that same thing. Who is the Hakol Modim? It's Rav Yochanan. Again, obviously it's Rav Yochanan. Okay. Pshita ki amar Rav Yochanan hecha deika karis, hecha deleika karis lo. The Gemara says, now isn't it obvious? Because by eating truma, there's no risk of karis. Meaning even for the person who does it intentionally, the only thing that the Torah, the only thing. Sorry. If I eat shum on purpose, the Torah gives you misa b'dei shamayim. Now again, that's deathly, but it's not as deathly as kares. Kares is more deathly. Okay. So ma'ud detem misa b'makom kares. And by the way, and before I go continue on the Gemara, and you understand, I hope this is clear. Now, I wasn't clear about this the entire day. Let me try to be clear about this point right now. The carbon chatas that we're describing, that we've been describing the entire day, is linked with the Yisr Kares. Meaning, when the Torah says that you do something b'mezid, you get Kares, so the chatas is basically an atonement for the Yisr Kares. So I might have thought the Havamina would have been, well, look, you're only going to bring a carbon chatas only when there's an Yisr Kares. But if there's no Yisr Kares, you wouldn't bring a carbon. Hechad like a kares lo ma'od detema. The Gemara says good, and that's why I never even would have entertained for Rav Yochanan that just having forgotten about the misa b'dei shemayim is not kares. So that's not enough to qualify the person as a shogeg. But rather here in the case of achilas truma, what qualifies you as a shogeg is you forgot the Torah prohibited a non kohen to eat truma. So the Gemara says lo ma'od detema misa b'makom kares omedes v'chishogeg b'misa nami lechayev kamash malan. Well, the Gemara says, well, okay, I hear all that, but what you might have thought the Havamina would have been that, well, you know what? I know Misa B'dei Shemayim is Kares light, but you know what? It's basically the same thing as Kares. We're talking about premature death. We're talking about, well...
But it's like Mumbaz also, because he's saying that he just wasn't ever of the penalty.
Yeah, but for Mumbaz, you knew the penalty. You just forgot about the carbon. Right, if from Munbaz, what shogeg would be is that you knew it was aser, and you even know what the punishment's going to be. You just forgot about the karban. For Munbaz, that's a shogeg. For here, we're not in the camp of Munbaz. We're in the chachamim slash Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that misa b'makom karis amedes, that misa and karis are basically two levels of basically the same general punishment. So v'chishagib b'misa nam lechayev, and therefore if I forgot about the misa penalty, that's also going to be considered a shogeg. Kamash malan, Rava Amar misa b'makom karis amedes v'chamish b'makom karban kai. So Rava explains, no, you know what? In truth, misa and karis are basically same basic category. And you know what replaces the karban? What replaces the karban is that chamish, that surcharge of the 20/25% that I have to add on. If I eat a bishogeg, that replaces the carbon. Okay, we have a couple more minutes left in today's daf. Let's go on a little bit in the Gemara, as the Gemara now will shift gears for just a moment. We've been talking about over the course of these past couple days, yesterday and today, the idea of forgetting, the idea of that you somehow lapsed into a state of unawareness, either that today's Shabbos, or that the malacha is prohibited, or even I even know that the malacha is prohibited, but I forgot the penalty. I forgot that the Torah incurs a kares punishment when I violate such an issue in the Torah. And now the Gemara continues with the following state of I forgot. Amar Rav Huna hayam ahalech b'midbar ve'ena yodeh masai Shabbos. I took a little bit of a trip, and my little trip turned into I am now totally lost. Man's lost in the desert. And he lost track of days. So Mona Shisha Yamim and Mashami Yom Echan. So now what do you do? Meaning you need Shabbos. Even though you're alone and lost in the desert, and perhaps right now Shabbos is not the first thing that's coming to your mind. And perhaps survival is right now the first thing that you're thinking about. Good. But how can you survive without Shabbos? It's impossible. So you need Shabbos. So now the Gemara has a phenomenal, fascinating discussion of what do you do? How are you going to quote unquote invent Shabbos when you don't know what day of the week it is? Okay. So we have two basic positions over here. So the Gemara first quotes the opinion of Mona Shisha Yamim and Mashami Yom Echad. So the first opinion is that here's what you're going to do: start counting. Today's day one. Even though you have no idea what today is. Tomorrow, next day, of course, is day two. Right? And you'll, right, in the sand, you'll notch off. Or in the tree, I should say. You know, with your little carving knife. Because that's the only thing that was left in the plane crash. So now you today's day two and day three. And then when you get to day seven, oh, today's Shabbos. In other words, you make for yourself your own personal Shabbos. Good. And Chia Barav Amar, Omer Mishama Yom Echer, Umon Shisha. And Rechia Barav doesn't make a major change of position. It's just start with Shabbos, and then can go 6 days, and then again, continue that cycle. Now, by my Kamiflagi, the Gemara gives a phenomenal description of what are they arguing about. Marsav V'Kadam Rishon. Sorry, I skipped a line. Marsav V'Kabriyas Sha'olam and Marsav V'Kadam Rishon. Meaning, whose perspective are we looking at? Are we looking at it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, where first he made 6 days of work, and then he observed the Shabbos, so that's what you should do. 6 days of, quote-unquote, work, and then you should observe the Shabbos. Or do we look at it from the perspective of Adam HaRishon? When Adam HaRishon was created in this world, what's the first thing he experienced?
Shabbos.
Right. So in other words, here you are... Let's call it Friday afternoon.
Well, that's basically Shabbos.
Now, I'll tell you what. Your point is very good. Truth be told, it was created Friday morning. Right? The Gemara gives us a timeline of how it exactly went down. Okay, your point is well taken. Anyway, but the question is, whose perspective do we look at it from? Now, so here, one out of every 6 days, the ratio of 1 to 6. So the Gemara says, "My love, monashisha mishami yom echad, lo mishami yom echad monashisha." Now, the Braisa is not all that clear in terms of how you count. The Gemara assumed the Braisa meant that you start off by Shabbos and then you count 6 days. The Gemara says, "No, the Braisa means you count 6 days and then you observe Shabbos." Ihachi mishami yom echad l'shisha mishami yom echad umonashisha mibayalei. The Otai in the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Hayim halach b'derech b'midbar v'yon yidei masai Shabbos monashisha. This Braisa could not say it any clearer. You count 6 days, and the seventh day, it's now your official day of rest. Tiyufta, Dechia, Barav, Tiyufta. Okay, so the Gemara says that's the correct procedure. You count 6 days in the seventh day Shabbos. Amarava. Now, let's get real for just a moment, if we can, about such a scenario. Let's get real for just a moment. I'm so happy that you're counting your own personal Shabbos day. But let's be honest. Today could be Shabbos.
Right.
Right? I'm very happy that you now have your own personal account. But you know what? Any given day could be Shabbos. Now I know mathematically, statistically, it's probably not Shabbos today, but we are talking about a Suffolk. And a Suffolk on Nissa Daraisa. So now you're going to invent which day is Shabbos? Shabbos is an objective reality. Okay. So, to that the Gemara says, B'chol yomos alo kedei parnasaso. Bar me'au yuma. So well, here's what you're going to do. Every day really could be Shabbos. So every day do the minimum. You need to survive. Do the minimum amount necessary to survive. And then take the rest of the day off. And wait for the plane to go over your head in order to save you and rescue you. So Bar-Me-Au-Yum, except for that day which now you call Shabbos, because that day now that you call Shabbos, a total cessation of work. Now the Gemara says, "Vau yuma lemos." Now on that day, what are you expected to do? Are you expected to die? So the Gemara says, "Davem meas moshtei parnasaso." So the Gemara says, "What you do is on what is your Friday, on your personal Friday. So what you'll do is you'll do double work." So the Gemara says, "Vedilma meas mos Shabbos avai." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but your personal Friday may be Shabbos." So okay, so kol yom v'yom oselo parnasaso afilo yuma. So the Gemara says, okay, scratch that plan. Here's the plan. Every day, do what you need to do to survive. Even on your own personal Shabbos, you need to survive. Do what you need to do to survive. But on that day, you'll say Kiddush and Havdalah. So now let's say you don't know what day of the week it is, but you know 1 week ago today, I left. Well, there's no way that you depart on Shabbos. So now what you could do is you could create a free day.
Right.
Meaning at least in your confused world that you live in right now, right? So at least one day you'll know, look, a week ago today, I left. I'm not leaving on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Pshita ma'u detem kevin de Shabbos onafik b'mal Shabbos anami lo nefet. Now, who the Gemara is asking? Okay, good. I understand that you could create one day of total, don't worry, that Shabbos today. Why can't you create 2 days? Because if you know you're not leaving on Shabbos, who's traveling on Friday? I mean, aside from me. But I'm saying, but who's traveling on... Nobody's traveling on Friday. So the Gemara says, V'hayi nami b'chamisha b'shabbos nafik lishtari leila me'avim lacha trei yumei. So can't you now say, well, look, I know a week ago it wasn't Shabbos. I also know a week ago it wasn't Friday. Because no one in their right mind would travel on Friday. So the Gemara says, Kamash malan zimnin demishkach shirza umakrei v'nafik. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. No. Most people don't travel on Friday. But... you have a caravan, the caravan's leaving, and don't worry, okay, because I say this, don't worry, we'll get there by Shabbos, and I have the caravan, I mean, here, right, the plane is scheduled to go, so the Gemara says, so it's possible that he left on a Friday. Obviously, he wouldn't go on Shabbos, we're not talking about a Mechal Shabbos, but on Friday, it's possible that he would have gone, so at best, what you could do is you could create for yourself one day which is free and clear, okay? Good. Again, today we went over now what's a shogeg, the opinion of Munbaz, you forgot about the Karban Chatas, the opinion of the Chachamim, no, you forgot more than that. What have you forgotten? Machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that you forgot about the Issacharis. Rav Yochanan says that you forgot about both the Issacharis and the Lav itself. Gemara's discussion of which position seems to be more correct. The Gemara defended the position Reish Lakish, even though Rav Yochanan has accepted the position. And then the discussion today about getting lost in the desert.
Learning.
A learning we do this morning, as every morning, should be continued for Shlema, for Binyamin Zevakoin, Ben Sharon, and Rivka. Rabbi Chanim, and Nakashim, and Rezek, and Shbarchu. Zachary, Sof, Yichach, Hirba, Torah, Mitzvah, Shanema, and Nechaf, Etzim, and Tikho. Yav, Yukar, Yadir.